Go ahead and call the meeting to order. First item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. A motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. Approval of minutes from the last meeting. Anybody have a chance to read them? Have any questions on them?
Make that motion, no approval.
All right. Second.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None? Okay. Declaration of any letters, opinions, or other guidance from outside the advisory committee presently or in the past. Declarations?
In the past, that could go way back.
Yeah, I've got some comments on this. But none? Okay. I know why this is here, but can we shorten it to say declaration of correspondence, or correspondence pertaining to these proceedings or something like that? I mean, I think we all know what it means.
Whatever we want.
Okay.
If you want to just call it.
If we need a motion on.
Correspondence or.
We should agree on what it's called, I guess. Declaration of correspondence is fine with me, unless somebody has something better or something otherwise.
Works for me.
Okay.
The only issue that may come up is in the bylaws, it allows any member to add anything to the agenda without having it needing to be approved. So just because you vote to change it tonight doesn't stop.
Well, I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just saying.
No, it doesn't stop somebody from
changing it back at some point.
Changing the wording, saying about the wording to be
okay.
What it is. So
well,
I don't think anybody has a problem with the intent. They're just trying to make it more.
I think we all understand.
I think we're all in a simplifying mode.
Right.
I have a problem with the intent, but
well,
different story.
It is passed, yeah. So.
So do we have to vote on that?
I don't know. Do we need a motion on that?
No, we'll just have Susan rewrite.
Just document it.
So moved.
All right. Wildlife management update, Jim.
All right. Been spending a lot of time walking the ditches and looking for the geese nests or goose nests, and still haven't found any yet. But they're starting to couple up out there, and we'll keep looking. Deer, we're still running about 9 or 10, but we'll need to address. Our latest wildlife issue is beavers, which has nothing to do with airplanes, but
I wouldn't want to hit one on the runway.
Well, you probably won't see it on the runway, but it is causing some problems in the industrial park, and so we're addressing that. So just another animal to add to my list, I guess.
On the geese, are you allowed to destroy the nests?
Yes.
before their eggs in, or
we have a permit to destroy the nests, to destroy the eggs.
Okay.
Addle the eggs, oil the eggs.
Mm.
We've been, when we find, well, last year we destroyed them and threw them away. It just depends on what stage of development they're in. And
no reason I asked, dealing with osprey and seaford, we can destroy the nests up until the point they have viable eggs in them, according to DENREC anyway.
Yeah, we can do it anytime as long as they're still eggs.
Okay.
Between June and October, or March and October.
Did you refresh my memory on the fence? A week totally enclosed?
Yes. There are a couple of places that we've had issues around the ditch where the fence crosses the ditches.
Mm-hmm.
We've put in some special water gates to keep the deer out of the ditch, but at the very edges of that, we've got a couple spots we still need to close up.
Is that how
they're not very big, they're but the deer find a way through it. And
sometimes, heavy storm events, for example, if the ditches are running full, that might affect the way that we have run. Because what happens is you run the fence parallel across the ditch, and then you kind of fill in that little area, and sometimes those little fill-ins get trees falling over, things of that nature. And then sometimes we, our gates, you know, if we have an accident with the gate or lightning strike, the gates are left open for a period before we can repair them.
And we actually had an issue with one of the gates up kind of near Sports at the Beach, that the latch had rusted out and came apart. So it was blown open for who knows how long. We hadn't been able to get out there because of the wet conditions. So it's just a constant battle to keep updated with it.
Okay. Is that all, Tim?
Yep.
All right, we had a quorum, so we did wait for a while, but we did go ahead and get started.
Wait for me, but I tell you, I was coming.
Right, well.
All
right. We are on to airport update with Jim.
All right. Ready? Baltimore Avenue over in Industrial Park, we did about half of it last year. We're going to finish that up this year. That'll go from Nanticoke Avenue down in front of Pat's other facility, just beyond California Closets. The contractor has to maintain traffic there, Mark, so you're not going to have any traffic blocked. Chesapeake Paving was given the contract. They're going to have to start on or before May 26th and be completed by June 26th. So sometime in there, and we'll put the word out to everybody in the industrial park when that's going to happen. Taxiway A South, I don't know if you saw your emails today. Hopefully you all got it. Updating everybody on that project. We opened bids on February 13th. George and Lynch was the low bidder, a little over $533,000. They have a scheduled start date of April 13th with 30 days to complete, and that was hopefully to get done well in time for Memorial Day weekend. That project starts at the main apron and goes down towards the new end of the runway, just beyond where they started the taxiway. It's going to block the new tie-down ramp out there, the overnight parking, but it will not block any other spots or hangars. The only thing there is you're going to have to come out this end of that apron. And there's plenty of room for everybody to do that. Taxiway C, a couple weeks ago, one of Mark's 737s kind of fell through the pavement over there. We scrambled and got that fixed. Where we had the pipe had crossed the taxiway that we put in, I guess, about 20 years ago. Some of the fill had failed underneath from the wet conditions. So we've had that fixed. George and Lynch came in and did that. In the near term, we're going to go back and do some crack sealing on that apron and taxiway to fix that. And then in fiscal year 2017, we'll come back, which 16 starts in this July, so 17, we'll come back and mill and pave that taxiway and apron. That should take care of that problem.
Did that fail because of the pipe failed? Was it undermining there?
No, the pipe was fine. We actually repaired the pipe back in the 90s. But at that time, DP&L was getting in the fly. They had all the fly ash down at the plant in Dagsboro, and they were promoting this flowable fill.
Made with fly ash.
We experimented with it as a backfill. At the time, it worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what has happened was that we just had some cracks in the overlay, and moisture seeped into the flowable fill, and it just became mushy, and that's what failed. The pipe was fine.
Interesting.
I just didn't even know. They left with prayer about maybe.
Yeah, it looked like they'd gone through a muddy road or something.
Is that right? Wow, yeah. Well. Fortunately, no damage to the plane or anything, I guess.
Yeah, the tires were down.
Oh, were they?
We didn't know it until the next day we called them. They had one tire that was out of limits. It was cut on the asphalt, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
And then there was just some scratching and scarring on the other three days, I
guess. So we're scheduled to do crack sealing on the other side of the runway, but we're going to extend it over into this area too to keep the moisture from getting down into that fly ash.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I want to say I really appreciate you guys to lay steel plates out as an interim solution to get one of the airplanes in. We actually delayed two airplanes from coming in. Georgia Lunch were able to round up a bunch of steel plates and allowed us to get the airplane in, and then we were good for a week, so they were able to make the repair. Worked out well.
Okay. Runway end identifier lights, I think I talked about this last time. We're going to transition those to LEDs on both ends of 422. We're waiting for dry conditions to be able to go out and do that. And again, we know we're going to have a brightness issue that we're going to have to address and try to make sure we don't have a problem with that, because they are a lot brighter than the other ones. And, but we'll address that when it happens.
Are they dimmable or no?
LEDs
are
dimmable. Yes, there'll be three. Yeah. There's three different settings, and sometimes the medium setting is like other people's bright setting. And so we'll have to see how it all works out.
Most of the time, you're talking for a situation where you can key your mic so many times, and there's a sensor on the ground that sets if it's too bright, you key it X number of times again, and it'll change the setting. If you get a real hazy, foggy night, you want it as bright as you can get it, so you can see it as far out as you can on an instrument approach. But on a bright, sunlit night, you know, if they're up really bright, it blinds you. It makes it hard to...
Okay. Blinds your night vision.
Yeah.
We had an issue with our clearance delivery radio. That's the radio that it's a... repeater goes up to Dover Air Force Base to their approach control up there. That was out for a while. We've done some work on that and got Verizon and Dover Air Force Base and our radio guys together and finally fixed that problem. So that's working again. That's kind of a big deal. Instrument approaches, there's no big changes from last time. We're still waiting for the VOR to runway 4 approach to come out. That's scheduled for April 30th now, which is not a change from last time. Still, the issue with the LPV minimums, the precision of approach minimums to runway 4, which has to do with our vertically guided survey information that our consultant submitted, that got rejected when it shouldn't have. And now we're trying to go back and fix that. But the problem that we're having right now is there's a website that all that information gets funneled into. And, you know, I have an account that I give access to our consultant to submit information. And there's a couple different tabs with this website. One is for, project information, and that's where you download all the information. That tab doesn't work. So they can't update any of the information that the FAA needs. There's another tab for just looking at the information or the status of the project. So we can go in there and tell that nothing's happening. We just can't get in there and fix it. The consultant has gone to the help desk, and now they've referred him to their help desk. So we track this almost daily, and we're working on it, but until that gets fixed, we're going to have problems getting the LPV minimums back.
Will they go ahead and publish it on April 30th with higher minimums? Or?
I'm still waiting to see what's going to come out on the 30th.
No.
There's a website that has all of the information on there, what's supposed to be coming out, that hasn't been updated. We'll see. Still waiting to see what's going to happen with our approach lighting credit and visibility. I would imagine that's going to be part of the April 30th release. Like I said, we track this almost daily with what's going on, and I just don't have any good news for you. Our apron expansion project, we've been through the design process on that far enough that we've kind of come to the decision jointly, with our consultant, that the amount of parking that we're going to get for the money that it's going to cost is not worth continuing the project. We're over $1 million for the first parking spot, about half of that would be county money. So we've asked the FAA to terminate that grant and that project, and they've agreed. So we're kind of sorry that's happening, but you know, based on the information that we have, that's the best decision to make.
I think you covered it. We discussed it a little bit last month. We just felt like it wasn't much bang for our buck, and to continue to expand the runway, or excuse me, the apron in subsequent years to get more parking, it was going to take us another 3 or 4 years of FAA funding on, and it was going to be low rated as far as the scoring system and our ability to receive, you know, the standard 90% funding. So we are proposing this electrical upgrade project in its place, and the FAA is agreeable. Mm-hmm. Jim, I'll let you take it from
there. You know, we had a design grant for last year's money. This year's money was going to be construction money. Now that we're not moving forward with that project, they've got this pile of money out there that we're going to take advantage of and apply it towards a major electrical upgrade project that we've been working on for a while. And we've talked about some of this in bits and pieces over the last couple of meetings. One of the things we're going to do is upgrade our existing electrical vault with the equipment that's in there, and then also add two new vaults, one over by Pat's and one over kind of by the fence by Mrs. Tyndall's house. And what that'll do is allow us to have the power closer to the equipment that's actually using it, and that gives us some more reliability and cures some things like voltage drops and stuff that
also,
I'm the wrong guy to be talking to about.
Yeah, eliminates a single point of failure. So instead of having one vault that everything on the airport, lights, controls, what have you, runs through, you know, we now would have three vaults, and that's going to make it much more secure as far as the ability to regulate lights and things of that nature. The other thing it's going to allow us to do is to dual feed both the airport and the industrial park. So currently on the industrial park side, if there was, you know, the line got cut out on Park Avenue, then there's no power, you know, to the industrial park. By bringing this line across the airport, we'll be able to dual feed both the airport and the airport, and there's great benefits to that.
I haven't seen the drawings, but it sounds like you're going to have a 12 kV loop. Is it 12 kV? Is that the primary voltage, or 25?
I didn't even know that we have the spec. Most likely.
Yeah.
Say most likely, yeah. But I haven't seen the actual numbers.
So you're going to have a primary loop around the airport, though?
It's going more across the airport,
okay.
But it will form a loop.
When you say three, I pictured a triangle. Yeah.
Picture if you want to see it.
Okay, sure.
Because we have to navigate where improvements exist and
mm-hmm.
where improvements
might
will
be planned
in the future,
yeah.
So we kind of have to zigzag across the airport.
Understood.
Yeah. The other part of this project is we're going to upgrade the taxiway B lights to LEDs, and that'll be part of that, and hopefully that'll be part of the grant that we get. We're also going to finish up completing all of the taxiway A LED upgrades. So all of the taxiway A will be LEDs also. And along with that, we'll add taxiway lights to the west side of taxiway B or taxiway A, kind of from the terminal down to the runway, which there's only one side of lights there now. That's kind of all of our construction projects, but the electrical one is a big deal, and it's going to give us a lot more reliability and capability.
And, you know, the time frame will move pretty quick. We have to have our bids in hand by, is it July 1st?
July 2nd, the grant has to be in. So even worse that, because we'll have to have the bids before that to do the grant. And so moving right along.
When do we think we would get that money back or get the funding dispersed and then actually, you know, start?
Generally, what, it takes
probably,
a month?
We'd have the grant by the end of July.
Yeah.
And to where we could draw down on it.
we get reimbursed as we spend it. We get confirmation that we have the grant being awarded, and then as we spend the funds, we apply for money and get reimbursed.
And we normally bring the grant to the county council for approval. That you not only want to accept the money, but the responsibilities that go along with it. And, okay.
And there will be someday in the future that I'll understand which Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta taxiways really are. Mm-hmm. I've seen one drawing one time, I think a year or so ago. Do you know which one they all are?
Yeah. Well, Charlie's one we don't, you and I don't pay much attention to because that's over by Pat's. We don't use that one much, but
yeah. I just thought I'd look up on the airport facility directory, and it's still not labeled there.
Fourth
flight or anywhere else.
Where have I seen it?
Well, the old 13 runway 1331 is taxiway D.
Right.
Parallels A.
Is it on the approach plates on the airport diagram? That's on the approach plates. No. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where I saw
it.
I've seen somewhere
out there.
Well, it is on the signs. Yeah.
Spent a lot of money on those signs. if you've been over in the terminal, you probably noticed the sprucing up that we've done there, the new paint. And
looks great.
Been there in the last few days. Excuse me. You've probably seen the painting or the photographs that are on the wall. They're all Kevin Fleming's work. If you're familiar with him. Pictures from around Sussex County, kind of the iconic pictures of Sussex County. They're also working on some little cards to tell you exactly where the pictures were taken. Everybody keeps asking where some of them are not very obvious. Looks real nice, and you get a chance to go over and take a look. We're not done with the terminal yet. We're still going to put up signs, you know, for the different offices and bathrooms and all of that. Some of that's waiting for our decisions on branding and logos and that type of thing. We're going to move the kind of the government signs down the hallway by my office. Probably just the plaque that says who was the county council, who was the engineer, and that type of thing. That used to be on the wall by the door to the bar. The electronic display that we've talked about.
Is your picture going up, Jim?
Well, it's the big one.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
Have you ever seen those holograms they got now at the airports with the girl telling you where the luggage goes and everything? That's what
that's
I'm
the one.
Have.
Okay.
Let's see. The electronic display, I've been told it we have it. We're just waiting to put it up after we get the controller, VCR, or something that goes with it. And the more we talk about it, the more ideas we come up with for what's going to be on this thing.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that will definitely be on it is flight aware information. They'll show scheduled arrivals and departures, and then it'll also have the map. If you're familiar with flight aware, kind of the overall view of, you know, the airplanes that are flying by and that type of thing. You know, we plan to use it for some advertising, you know, Wings and Wheels advertising, special events, you know, restaurants, hotels, good, that type of thing, transportation. When I was sending the email out about Taxiway A today, I was thinking it would be nice to have that display because I could get a picture of Taxiway A and show where the construction is, you know, kind of attention pilots, this is what's happening. So there's a lot of things that we can do with that display. We're kind of looking forward to it. The other thing, and this gets into the next item too, but is our marketing plan. We sent out, and you have it in your package in front of you, what we call task one and task two has been completed by the consultant. And we've summarized that for you in your package. And Susan sent everybody an email explaining how to download the reports. Mm-hmm. And along with a copy of the task one report, which is not very thick. But the task two report, and we've only got three hard copies ourselves, and we're hoping you're just going to download it. But it's got a lot of neat drawings and pictures and stuff. So it's a 29 meg file. You'll have to download it according to the instructions there to see that.
That email, Jim said that it was only going to be good for 30 days. So do we have the ability to download it and then?
Yes.
Or
yep.
Probably not. I'm just saying we might run out of memory.
So you don't have to view it on the website. You can actually download the document.
Download it. Okay.
It'll download.
Okay.
So everybody has a copy of that. That's available. Did want to just kind of take a minute and go through the summary that you have. Like I said, this task one and task two. First task was to identify airport users. And the report also kind of lays the groundwork for what's to come in the later tasks. So, I mean, there's a lot of just general discussion, things that you probably are going to read and go, well, yeah, I know that. It's some general discussion about how do you make, they talk about make market versus take market. Taking market, they kind of focus on Easton and Salisbury, that they're within our service area, and we ought to be kind of maybe luring some of those users of that airport away from them. And then also some ways to make market by, going after some of the smaller air cargo FedEx feeder type operations. And then they kind of finished it up with kind of a list of priorities. The first one, retention and expansion of paths. Well, we didn't need to spend money to have somebody tell us that, but it's obvious, and it's in the report.
You can build us new hangars, or what?
How much money are you going to spend on paths?
Well, what do you need?
Well, longer runway.
6,000 feet.
What did you say?
A longer runway.
But I won't go into all these things, but some of them are obvious, and probably the most useful thing out of this is seeing it all in one place and understanding things that we have done and things that are left to do.
So these reports were just recently released.
We've had task one for a while, but it's not all that useful in the big picture. I mean, it kind of sets the stage for later on, that the task two especially. So we didn't share that with you, but that Susan sent that to you today.
May I ask a quick question? And on the recommended priorities, they're on page 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is that list in an order of priority, or is it in order of financial obligation, or is it just kind of a random list?
It's probably not in priority
list. It doesn't look like it's in a priority list.
Right.
But there's one thing on here that we've discussed numerous times in the past. Fuel pricing. Part of fuel price is that fuel tax that the state has.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of getting rid of that. If we have any progress at all with any of our state legislators, what that is there is a motor fuel tax that's for highway construction in Delaware that's added on to every gallon of gasoline. It's intended for people who use the highways. We don't use the highways in our airplanes. So therefore, the same thing for agricultural use. We have to pay the tax up front and then fill out a form and attach our receipts and file it with the state to get reimbursed. Now, aviation fuel is not used in anything but airplanes most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not supposed to be, right? It's a high tetraethyl lead, well, not as high as it used to be, but it's got tetraethyl lead in it. It's for aircraft.
Right.
Why charge a tax on aircraft fuel when every penny of it is technically reimbursable for the end user? Because of the shoebox effect. Okay? So the state gets to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
it's immoral and illogical to keep charging it, but to keep doing it. And we've had several times we've talked about trying to get some kind of initiative with the state legislators to stop it, drop it off of av gas and jet fuel, eliminate those FTEs and people at Bear who's processing forms to reimburse it all the time. But I don't know, maybe the state still gets enough money out of it, or the shoebox effect out of it. I know it's real. My wife just curses every time when she has to file those things. We save them up every 6 months. I buy a lot of gas.
I have heard
500, 600, 700 gallons at a time.
Yeah, I've heard second or third hand that, so I can't vouch for how true it is, but that actually costs the state more to operate the program than the money they gain from it. At least as far as
that would be a typical government
reimbursement
function.
Part of
typical
the
many government things.
Aviation thing. But
just because it's logical doesn't mean it's going to happen.
So has there been any communication to anybody out of Dover?
Well, Garrett had been working with Ruth Briggs King on this, and I think that's where we left it, was he was going to stay in touch with her. And
that's been a year.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see her tomorrow morning.
Well, you know, if you want to lower fuel prices for transients and attract transients, we got to get rid of that fuel tax.
Right.
Because the transient, the guy stopping in here and buying 60, 80, 90 gallons of gas is not going to go through the trouble. And what he's going to do is going to look out there on the different websites of what fuel costs are, and he's going to plan his fuel stops based on what the listed prices are. He doesn't know he can get part of that back. You know, I do it all the time. I bought gas at $3.10 a gallon last week in Apopka, Florida.
Wow.
$3.10 a gallon. When was the last time you saw that on
Is that expensive or cheap? I have
that's
no idea.
Very cheap for av gas.
That's about half of what it is
yeah.
in a lot of other places. Just, what, five something here?
Five.
How do we compare to other airports, either regional or where you've been?
It's never been one of the lower costs. It's always been around the middle or higher because of that tax. You know, we got handcuffs on Garrett. If we could get rid of that tax, which shouldn't be on there anyway,
well, how
we
much
shouldn't
is
be
it?
Paying it.
How much is the tax?
23 cents.
Yeah, 23 cents a gallon.
So that's pretty significant.
Significant, yeah.
So, you know, 2 years we've been talking about it?
Yeah, that needs to get off. And
yeah.
That's statewide? That's a statewide
thing?
Statewide,
yeah. Yes.
So that hurts every airport in the state. Is
no.
Which is anti-business.
So somebody who's flying up and down the East Coast, which is a major flyaway,
right.
Where are they going to buy their gas? They're going to stop at Ocean City.
Or
because
Easton.
Because that's about the cheapest
or,
gas
yeah.
in the area.
There you go.
Cambridge,
if they're coming down
Easton.
From Maine, they're going to stop at Ocean City, get their gas, and keep going.
What's the name of this tax?
The gasoline tax.
Just gas tax?
It's a gasoline tax. It's a motor fuel tax. It's charged on for every gallon of gasoline. Is that on the Jet A also?
Mm-hmm.
Just the gasoline?
Yeah.
Marine, too, has the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Their lobby hasn't been successful either. Whatever
yeah,
reason.
Marine, agricultural, and aviation all having to pay it. And none of us should, because the purpose of the tax is for roads.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us use the roads.
Well, I can already tell you what they're going to say. We all know that, too. We can't afford it. It's not theirs to begin with, but
what do we got to do? File a lawsuit?
I probably
no, because you can get your money back if you go through the process.
Right.
Right.
But I still think
but they know that majority of people, probably a very high percent, that just don't mess with
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Especially transit.
Our marine stuff, so
yeah.
it's just too much of a hassle.
Right.
I lose my receipt all
the time. That's right.
There is a new FAA policy out on, it falls under the use of airport revenues, that any revenue generated by the airport, including tax, local and state taxes, can only be used for aviation purposes. So, and I just found out about this today, so I don't have all the facts, but our next grant, we're going to have to certify that all the state tax on fuel here is only being used for aviation purposes in the state of Delaware.
And it's not.
Good luck with that.
And that's
it's going into
that's one of the issues
on.
That,
yeah.
you know, when they did this proposed rulemaking, a lot of the commenters had was, you know, we didn't collect the tax, we have no control over the state, and
when I was
you know,
looking into
we,
it, I couldn't determine who what it was being used for. I mean,
well,
people I talked to, I mean, I ran into a lot of walls, but the people I did talk to, nobody could tell me what it was used for, or if any of it was being used for aviation.
I don't think it's actually earmarked.
Right.
But if you look at what they say they collect versus what they the state spends on aviation in the state, they spend more on aviation, so it's...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. With the 5% matches.
Yeah.
Is everybody along the line getting charged this tax? I mean, at distribution, end user, is it through the whole line?
That's at the retail level.
The retail level?
Garrett has to collect it.
Yeah.
Now, Garrett is real good about, you know, I don't keep receipts. I don't even see my receipts. He's got my credit cards, he bills it, and then...
Yeah. He emails
every 6 months, you know, yeah, he emails the receipts, but I don't even bother that. Every 6 months, Laurie just gets a printout from him. He stamps them, signs them, and fill out the form. But you know, what a nuisance when we shouldn't have to. But where that's hurting us, it's not the local-based pilots.
Right.
Sure.
Because we jump through these things and do it. It's the transients that don't stop here.
Right, for that reason.
For that reason.
Additional expense.
Because if I'm planning a flight plan, I'm sitting right here, I'm planning right here, and I look at where approximate areas where I got to stop and land for fuel. That's what we did when we stopped in Apopka. When we did that airborne, we're flying along and the headwinds were hitting us to the point where we were headed to Sarasota, Florida, out of Georgetown, once we finally got warmed up enough, and got it 9 degrees when we left here that morning. But we got down there, we said, we might stop for fuel. So we started looking online, and sure enough, we found $3.10 in Apopka, which was short of where we needed to land, but for $3.10, we don't stop and land there.
Yeah.
So they got that revenue because they got... And there was a line of airplanes.
I'll bet.
Everybody's
yes.
Everybody's doing the same thing.
Yeah. I was third in line. They have a tug park there to move airplanes through the pump area. Cheapest gas in North Florida. But, you know, if we had gas that was more competitive here on Delmarva, there are a lot more people would be stopping here than maybe stopping down the route.
Can we put together resolution of some sort, you know, from this committee and to all the Sussex County legislators out of Dover?
Need like a one-pager
to give
us the facts that we can then shepherd around. It got bogged down about a year ago somehow, some way. I'm not sure where there's... I mean, it makes sense, but something somewhere is stopping this. I don't know what it is. And to be honest, I haven't shepherded it through, so I don't know personally where
I have another suggestion, and it may be moved. Garrett may have already looked into this, but AOPA has had some success dealing with state governments and getting rid of certain taxes and to help the aviation industry. I don't know if Garrett's contacted AOPA or our airport representative here. I don't know who that was. It used to be Bob Cooper? Not Cooper.
Young,
yeah. Is that still Bob, do you know? I haven't seen Bob in a long time. Well, anyway, that's another avenue, I guess. Another source of
support. Well, I just was a little amused to see this. I mean, we're possibly reducing fuel prices.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been talking about it for a long time.
Well, that gets into task two. I forget the question was about task one, but if you look at task two, they go, you know, the purpose.
Actually, before I'm sorry, Tim, may I, real quick,
sure.
on these recommended priorities, can we go down the list real quick? What are we doing anything with it? I know we are doing something with some of these things. Is this on our radar anywhere? Is this something for up to discussion, for discussion? I mean, as we want to continue to grow this airport, and there's some recommendations, so what are we going to do about some of these recommendations?
Some of these are under task two also, but
so we can
the solicitation, you know, a lot of that's going to have to wait until we have the branding thing figured out, that we have something to go present to a potential user.
I'd say a lot of these are on our radar screen.
Okay.
If not, we're clearly engaged in some of them. There's question marks about, like the fuel prices. Okay, well, that's a good statement, then what?
Right.
It's one thing to say potentially expansion of PATS. I think we all can point to a lot of examples of doing that and
and engaging in the future to do that. But what does the reduction of fuel prices, what does that mean? So that's sort of out there, but without the deliverable as clear as some of the others.
Okay. But direct transportation, FedEx would be. FedEx, one of their problems they've solved it is they don't have mechanics time to work on airplanes, so they run broke. Robbie's has to run down there frequently. He's great to market to them. Why not come here? Why not move your site to here?
Mm-hmm.
You got the mechanics here, this experience of working on your aircraft. Construction new T-hangers. Do you have a still have a waiting list for T-hangers?
We do. In fact, we're going through it right now. We've gone through. We're on our fourth person that we're waiting to hear from.
How many people on the list?
17.
So you had something come available, you called three, they turned you down.
I'm waiting for him to return my call to tell him that we've got a hangar. And he'll probably
take it. It's like one out of four. So realistically, you got maybe four people who really want a hangar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's not worth building a set of T-hangers for.
Could we get a deposit from these guys that are on the list and see if they're serious, and then if there's commitments, we could perhaps maybe reconsider something.
Mm.
I don't know. Potentially,
we could. I know Easton. I think they charge $100 to be on their list. But you're right. It would tell us who's serious.
Well, yeah. I think. It's refundable. But I mean, in the end, we know there. I mean, if we've got somebody who's, I mean, like Pat's. I mean, we want to extend the runway. Well, do you have a client? Is there a contract in place contingent upon an extension of the runway, right? So, just like anything else, you've got some skin in the game, then we can move forward. If not, then maybe not. That would be my thought on that, is let's find out really, truly how serious, if they want to stay on the list, come up with some bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're looking at other options and future endeavors, and we want to know how serious you are.
How are you going to market jet and multi-engine aircraft that frequently use Easton Salisbury Airport? How are you going to even identify them?
FlightAware.
Could do that
for us.
Yeah. How do you do that? You sit and watch it, or can you get a report out of it?
You get a report.
Well, then you can always search by N number and
mm-hmm.
send out marketing materials.
Yeah. Except for the blocked ones, but yeah.
Yeah.
But we got to have a story to tell and something to sell. And that's
you can't have the highest fuel price in the area. And
that's right.
Get anybody here.
That's right.
That's the first thing everybody looks at.
But we've got a good restaurant.
Well, and that I talked to a couple last year that come down from Massachusetts or someplace, and the reason they stop here for fuel is because of the restaurant. They can get fuel. They can get something to eat. You know, they pay a little more for fuel, but.
Yeah. When I'm traveling,
it's the other things that go along with it that make them stop here.
Yeah.
Not everybody's like
people,
that.
We get a number of people that fly in so they can have lunch, $100 hamburger
yeah.
kind of thing. We had some guys fly in a couple weeks ago. Open cockpit airplane was 15 degrees. They're nuts.
Wow.
They did.
Yeah. I mean, these weren't people that were.
Down and put in some hot coffee, and then they wrapped back up and took off, flew all the way back to Orange.
Yeah. Well, these people weren't just going out for lunch. They were going to Florida, and this was their fuel stop. But because of the restaurant, and they were willing to pay a little extra for the fuel.
I learned a lot a couple of Saturdays ago when I was invited to have lunch here with the Pilots Association, and our lunch was at Arenas, and there was about 25 in attendance, so a lot of pilots and their wives, which was very interesting. And that's where I really was learning, hearing these stories, that they would travel to Williamsburg or wherever it may be for a particular restaurant or a
mm-hmm.
typical type of wine. They spoke very highly about Arenas and its reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very interesting, and just to hear all them talk about.
And sometimes
that.
It's the pilots and their husbands.
Yeah,
well, that's
it's not always their wives.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, that was very very good learning experience.
Yeah. All right. Well, the purpose of task two is to kind of take a look at the product. Of the airport for marketing, and part of that is the brand that goes along with that. There was some general discussion of things, and kind of the thing that they said right up front, just based on their experience, you know, the things that, that people are looking for in corporate flying, you know, the best instrument approach is, you know, a good fixed-based operator, you know, where they get service and maintenance if they need it, and then fuel price. So, you know, that goes back to their other recommendation that fuel price is a big driver. They had some other discussion areas in all that, things that are going to affect development of the airport, a little bit on branding and, you know, branding of the airport versus branding of the county, that type of thing. And they also presented some user surveys and tenant surveys for us to use if we wanted to go in that direction. Then they got down to recommendations for, they looked at a set of design standards for the airport and came up with several recommendations, and this is kind of a summary of that. You can look at the overall discussion of these in the report when you get a chance to. Some of these things we're doing or we have done or in the progress of doing. Other things we haven't done yet, but they're in the plan. And then there's some other things that, you know, they're good recommendations, and we're going to need to take a look at how to move forward with those things. But just a few of them, and some of them, you know, are kind of the keep doing what you're doing kind of thing. But, you know, like I said, all these are design standards for the airport. You know, just runway strength. Well, you know, when we overlaid the runway, we kind of added a little bit of thickness to the runway that adds to the runway strength. So, you know, things like hold lines. You know, we've been updating our hold lines to meet FAA standards as we move along with our projects. You know, obstruction removal, that type of thing. Some of their recommendations, like I said, are things that we're planning to do. They think we ought to have a parallel taxiway to runway 1028. That's actually, now that the apron project is kind of on the back burner, we've moved that taxiway up to FY16 for the FAA for a design grant. So we'll see how that goes.
Before you move on down, back up there towards that section above, the Comcast extension of the high-speed line. How was that coming along?
We're in the middle of looking at their design right now to extend from Deltec down to the state police. And they'll put drops in every hangar along the way.
I just marked up those plans this afternoon.
Did you? Okay, that's coming along.
What about the other direction?
We have no plans from Comcast right now to do that, so a lot of it depends on being able to talk them into.
Magnetic antenna stuck way up high on the side of my hangar with a hole drilled through there and a little MiFi or jetpack working great.
State Police reached out to me about the fiber ring announcement a couple weeks ago,
right.
And you know, fiber's going to run right down that road and do a circle around here, provide us with infrastructure here. That the company told me, tell me anyone that's interested on the airport side of tapping into fiber, and as we make the design and start to talk to the decision makers of where this stuff's going to go, it's better to have it on paper than to be asked later. So I put the state police in direct contact with the companies called Broad Valley. I can do the same for you too. And they're happy to hear who's interested. I told them I want to go in both ways from end to end. And then you can, I don't know if that's possible because I don't really understand how this fiber thing works, but I want as much as we can get out here.
Well, I know Sussex Aero, if they need something done.
It just makes sense to me, especially in the planning stage, to at least plan, have the conduit on the ground for that anyway, to pull it in for.
To maintain his database down there, to be legal with the repair station, got to maintain these big downloads daily. He starts and it takes hours and hours for him to get his downloads done.
Yep. So they presented to us at the council, and the analogy they showed or true example is when fiber comes into place, what would take you 24 minutes to download a regular movie on whatever you have right now, it'll take 2.4 seconds to download in fiber, assuming your computer can handle that. Mm-hmm. But it's that quick. Mm-hmm. So that's what we need out here, and we're aiming to provide it everywhere.
I think this year, correct? I mean, based on what he was
saying. Depending on how fast they can get the, believe it or not, you know, the holdup is going to be Deldot and getting in there right away to run from Georgetown and around this circle. They've already got the point of contact, and these guys are motivated. They're moving fast.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully. Yeah, fall. Right. It should be done.
So from the airport, from the county / the airport standpoint, when we are bringing it here, when we say here, are we talking about this building? Well, let me rephrase it. We have tenants here as a county, correct? Mm-hmm. So are we providing it as part of their service, or are they going to be on their own to get it? Or is that a separate conversation we handle elsewhere?
No, it's just like any other. I mean, utilities are on the tenant. So what I'm trying to do is be the facilitator, like I just described, to get
okay.
it there.
Got it.
And then I have no idea what this looks like for the end user. I mean, it could be 1,000 times more than what you're paying for what you have right now, and it's not an option. I don't know. I don't think they're going to market it that way because they want as many people
sure.
signed up as they can get.
Right.
So that's as much as I know. We're trying to get it so guys like all of our tenants can sign up. The next step is to get on the other side.
Right.
So our tenants on the industrial park side can get.
Right.
We have fiber coming in our hangar that we put in years ago.
Which you were paying.
Well, we're paying.
Yeah. And because fiber finally made it to Georgetown, Comcast finally got motivated and started running lines on the industrial side of.
Competition is always good.
After we begged for, it predates me,
years.
These guys
right.
were begging for them to get out there.
What's amusing, every time I take the mail out of my mailbox down there, I've got a solicitation from Comcast.
Yeah.
Upgrade to Comcast business.
So it's coming.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. And then some recommendations for kind of the future. Things are a little bit too far out for us to worry about right now. Things associated with the 6,000-foot runway. You know, we obviously can't do some of that until that project starts going. Let's see. And other things, the T-hanger and additional box hangers. You know, we'll look at that as we go along. Then they get into, you know, branding discussion, and I want to take a look at that in the report. And then what everybody's been waiting for, kind of the naming options, which, depending on how you feel about that, there's some good names, some bad names, probably nothing earth-shattering there. They did recommend some assessment tools, kind of a scorecard system that you get a chance to read the discussion on, you know, what a logo or what a name, what that's supposed to convey to people. And they kind of broke it out into a scorecard so you can kind of objectively go through that and rank order all that stuff. How does it meet this criteria, that criteria? And then I think their intent was, you know, get a group of people to do that, and then you can come up with your number one choice. You know, that's probably not going to happen that way, but you know, as an objective way of doing it, that's probably not too bad. Todd or Melody, want to add anything here?
Yeah. So, typical. Well, it seems typical sometimes. Things are happening slower than we'd like, but for good reason. And the county's hired a branding firm to work on our entire branding initiative for the county itself. And this gentleman's pretty impressive, and we've met with him several times, and we are moving forward with his services. And what are we talking about? His analogy that settled with me was, think of yourself as a university, and a university, any university has a seal, and they've got when they were created and the figures in that seal, but then the university has the mascot, and everyone knows who the mascot is, and they sell the t-shirts. Well, the county clearly has our seal. That is us. That's who we are, and we won't ever leave that as an organization. But we're lacking our mascot. This guy's going to give us our mascot. And part of the whole overreaching effort is the county brand as it relates to everything we're doing, from economic development to being able to get out in front of people and sell what we can do and bring business to the county. A large part of that is the airport. And secondary, or maybe in conjunction, is the industrial park. So we've kind of hit the pause button on utilizing Kimball to help us with branding, because we, quite frankly, I think the gentleman's name is Ben Maldrow, and his firm's name is
Associates.
Yeah, I think he can do a better job. And I didn't want to just deal with the airport.
No.
Made no sense to do something so segmented when we should be looking at the whole thing. Getting an airport name and a logo made no sense when I didn't have a mascot. So we've coupled it all together. And that's why I said we've hit the pause button. But it's a very small pause button, because Ben's hired. He's underway. We've already met. He's here Friday, all day.
He's here Friday. We'll spend a lot of time with Jim Hicken and myself here at the airport and industrial park, followed by a meeting with our IT team from an economic development perspective with the website, things of that nature, and then later want to debrief. But this gentleman is an expert in branding communities across the country. And if you take a look at just his products and end user, you would be absolutely blown away. And he has offices in South Carolina. He just so happened to fall in love with a Milford woman, so he also has a home here in Sussex County, and he also has an office out on the West Coast. So just a very sharp and dynamic individual, and we think he's going to get us where we want to go in all these areas.
Yeah. So we don't have a name today. I don't even know that we have a finalist yet. I want to pick Ben's brain to figure out how to pick this committee's brain and solicit feedback. One of the problems I have right now is our next meeting is not for another several months, and that's not...
Well, mm-hmm. we have one more before the summer break.
Good. Mm-hmm. So
which we need to talk about before
the summer break either.
Well, we don't have to, no.
This is something important.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why we couldn't continue to meet and discuss and talk about this, not take off the summer just because it's convenient.
Our hope and goal is to have this whole thing done by the summer. So that would require this group to get in front of Ben in some kind of exercise, maybe a special meeting, to get feedback and input. I don't know how that all looks just yet, but the point is, I may ask you to take the time to do that, and it may not be in the designated rotation of our meetings.
I think you'll find most of the members of this committee are on this committee because they want to be part of a solution.
Right.
So I think most of the people in this committee would be happy to have a input in that.
Terrific. And I don't want you to, we asked Kimball obviously to put some things together. Don't be distracted by what's in the report when you get to that. There are examples of some ideas. Those are just discussion points. They're not, I would tell you, I would almost, well, I can't say what I'm thinking, but there's a high chance that these will not be incorporated in our long-term
plan. Is this being recorded?
That's why I bit my tongue.
Yeah.
But it was a good exercise for them to get the discussion going. Kimball's clearly airport experts, and Ben's a marketing expert, so we're bringing the two together. So that's kind of it. If you guys have specifics, by all means.
Can I ask a question, Todd? This is the Kimball boil down. Is this a Kimball boil down, or is this the Wiedemann boil down?
That is a Todd, Melody, Jim template for tonight's discussion.
Of the Kimball report.
Of the Kimball report.
A lot of it's similar to Wiedemann's.
In other words, we started back in November of 2013, and we had a fairly decent business plan here. SWOT analysis and everything. of this is here. So we paid Kimball to come in to put another report together, and you all boiled down from the Kimball report to this report. In other words, this is, so to speak, the third step?
No, I wouldn't look at it that way. This was simply created to not have to distribute this tonight to you all and expect you to digest it in short order. This was simply to say, we have these products in hand, we're going to make them available to the committee. But to summarize, we literally, I don't want to say threw this together because it did take some time, but we tried to grab the highlights out of the Kimball reports, 1 and 2, and boil it down to 8 pages. This, as far as I'm concerned, goes in the file after today. And then we start working out of the real.
What's the date on that one? What's the date on the Kimball report, Todd?
We got this last week.
No, Monday.
Number two.
Monday.
We got task two Monday.
As of this week.
As of three 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And task one we got, I don't know when. It says December. December of last year.
Well, when I suggested this be put on the agenda, it was just to give an update, and I do appreciate it. I didn't really mean to force you into scrambling to put something together just to brief us.
Oh, no.
I was just curious as to where the county was in the whole process.
Absolutely.
So.
Are we thinking that we're going to have this, I know you're meeting with him on Friday, is the thinking that we're going to have him come back and then present something to us as a committee? Is that the thinking?
I'm thinking right now, kind of off the top, is he's got to get his download of all this, not here, but the county, the
mm-hmm.
airport, these things. He's not even had a chance to read this yet. And then I think, hearing sort of my intent and direction, he needs to get in front of this group. And
right.
I'd like, by that time, this thing is really boiled down, and we're starting, you know, to bake the cake here. And whatever he hears from you all, and maybe it's, we're going to go this way or this way, you tell me which one works best for you. It's that narrow. I don't think it's going to be a good exercise to have another SWOT. We already know what we know.
We know the SWOT analysis. That's why I think the original was a daggone good one, by the way.
Yeah.
I think whoever did that original one did a fantastic job. Or whatever money was paid for the original.
It was a great way to get the ball rolling there.
Yes, sir.
It really was.
Eye-opener.
Eye-opening.
From the standpoint of analysis, I think they did a hell of a great job on the airport back in 2013 or whatever.
Randall,
Yeah.
That's why I was so interested in, and it's shocking that just came out to us, to you all, March 2015
mm-hmm.
is that date, so to speak, and then you go into scramble mode to basically boil that off so that we have something to look at tonight. Of course, we thank you.
Yeah, very much appreciated.
To do the job. My question, I'd like to continue one question about this priority thing. This priority list here, recommended priorities, those have been around for a long time. And whether it's fuel pricing, we can get hung up on fuel pricing, but we can also say we don't have any landing fees, right, Jim? We told me we don't have any landing fees, but we don't know comparatively why. Like the Wiedemann report put a nice chart together that said comparison of prices, 100 LL and obviously jet. And how much we're paying here and how much we're paying there, et cetera, which was a pretty good analysis, in my opinion, for the time.
Mm-hmm.
For the time, meaning 2013. If we would do the same thing today and do what we were talking about and getting a few more ideas about this fuel tax, whether or not we can do anything about it or not, that's beside the point. But at least that would bring these analyses up to date. The other thing that I keep going back to is the last meeting, which I thought was obviously a very progressive meeting. We started talking about things like, where possible, general improvement and expansion of existing FBO services, for instance. My simple question, do we do anything more about the entrance here and the gates are closed and all that, that they have telephone numbers, et cetera, what to do to basically service that customer. I'm just picking one in a out. We do anything along that line?
I would say from the county's perspective, we did. And it's sort of the, I'm happy to fill you in with all the details, but you know, we went as far as had a conversation with Garrett, figured out what the process is. We were right in the middle of our renovation of the terminal. Now we have an idea of, okay, how to disseminate the information, if it's just information, better to incoming pilots. One of the solutions is the multi-purpose, nice thing that's going to go up there. So we have one of the slides that stays up there all the time is airport information. There's been discussion about rental cars and how that should look. And, you know, we're not done yet. One of the main hiccups right now, I call it a hiccup, but delays, is we got to get whatever our name is and whatever we look like. And we already have concepts on paper, which I'm afraid to show you because I don't want to hear you say I don't like that or I love this or we're wedded to this. But once we get that, then we can start literally going out and buying the stuff that we need to start hanging on the walls, and the informational thing that sits next to a red phone that says, pick this up and a guy's going to answer and going to get you a car.
Yeah.
We've had those discussions. They're probably just about only discussion and maybe step one stage, but they're on our radar. So.
See, that kind of goes back to the question that came up is whether or not these were in priority order, which might be one of the first things that could be done with your recommendations is put them in priority order and then put who's assigned the task and when the date's going to be done.
Yeah.
Good point.
So we don't keep talking about the same thing each quarter or every other month or how often we're meeting.
Yeah.
Action items, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So perhaps that list could be put placed under old business along with some dates. I've always, well, you know, I mean, I think that's one of my list, items on my list for you, is what's out there, what's lingering, you know? And I think for the airport, you're right. That's some timelines.
Thank you.
Good feedback.
Yep. So to answer this question, is that something we can do?
I think it's certainly, yes. One of the things is we all need to go home and digest this a little, and then perhaps if needed, have another action item, which is, I don't think anyone wants to have a 200-page review of this document, but maybe in looking at prioritizing the priorities, we can have another discussion after we look at this. We're certainly welcome to feedback, and it doesn't have to come by way of this next meeting. It could be simply soliciting the committee via email, that helps. But we could certainly dive into this and create some kind of list that shows a more of a structure.
Can I ask one question, or may I ask one question? And that would be the number one item on there is retention and expansion of paths. Well, we've already talked about the expansion. You need a longer runway. You would like to, right? Well, how about retending? We're keeping you. Are we going to keep you? Long term, are we in good shape?
Yeah.
Okay. So we can check that one off.
We had a meeting. We had a meeting.
Right?
Just about last month, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Us and President Vincent and all the leadership at PATS, absolutely. And there's always continued conversation in regards to expansion.
Yeah.
And retention here at the airport.
Yeah.
It's critically important.
One more question. So there's one
check mark. We were talking about fuel just a minute ago. I just did a quick thing here on AirNav. Garrett actually right now has the lowest fuel in the region, fuel price in the region.
Mm-hmm.
He's $4.50 a gallon versus $4.90 at Ocean City. Cape May, $5.73. Ridgely, $6.16.
Mm-hmm.
Cambridge, $5.70. Delaware Air Park's the same, $4.50. Easton, $4.79.
The Delaware Air Park's pump your own.
Yep.
So
Millville is $5.99. Crisfield, $4.25. Keene Landing, they're much more than a small Cessna, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
know, so, tell you what though, if he did 23 cents less than that, he'd be, it'd be sucking them in down here.
Now, does that fluctuate a lot? You know, is 450 a good standard? Is it, does it creep up during the summer?
They've been coming down recently.
MoGas right now too. We've seen MoGas prices as cheap in years. We've seen AvGas prices as cheap in years either. AvGas was a real delay. It only recently has started coming down.
Right.
It was. It didn't follow the pump gas, MoGas. It stayed really high for a long time because a lot of people, I think, thought they were going to be. They couldn't drop their price because their prices weren't going down, and then they would have to invest in buying, expensive gas again in a short run. And now that the prices are staying down low, they're willing to start adjusting their prices down low, but they see it's going to be a slower comeback than what a lot of people estimated.
And there's generally pretty good lag
also,
between the two.
Yeah, most of these have been up. Most of these fuel prices have all been updated this month. Only a couple of these are really old. Most of these are all updated within the last 2 weeks.
Well, question then, if we're that competitive with the fuel pricing, then are we out of the box anywhere else as far as the total cost of landing here? Because Jim tells me it's zero landing fees, and here we got obviously
there's a ramp fee.
Why am I going to take my plane anywhere else?
Most general aviation airports do not have a landing fee. I haven't paid a landing fee in probably 10 years.
Okay.
Except if you go to BWI or major airports, air carrier airports, and a lot of times you can get them waived. But that's something we don't normally see.
Houston's got one.
What?
Houston's got one.
Landing fee?
Yeah. Surprised me. I got a bill in the mail when I took my plane over there for the IFR check.
What did they charge you?
$15, $25, I forget what it was. I think it was on $15.
A lot of places charge a ramp fee.
Maybe that's what it was, but I got a bill in the mail.
Yeah. The Ocean City charges a ramp fee if they're there to charge it to you. So they get a lot of people that come in after 6 o'clock at night.
I haven't paid one.
It sounds like, where I was coming from, it sounds like we've got a pretty good story to tell.
We do.
They obviously the overall cost of operating.
Yeah, it's not all doom and gloom, definitely.
My biggest takeaway from the pilots meeting, and Rick was there as well, what I heard in that room was, Melody, we're already here. I mean, we love our airport. I mean, they complimented how it's run and the restaurant and all the amenities and things of that nature. They said, but what would entice others here? So they got to talking, and they said, man, no sales tax, got beautiful beaches, all these restaurants from a tourism perspective. Well, how are they going to get there? Once they come here, how do they get connected to all the other beauty of the county?
Yeah.
And so then they talked specifically about things like having rental car available. So, and really, when I say rental car available, so I go and Jim, and I debrief Jim, and talk to our FBO and just trying to get an understanding because I'm learning. And so I've heard, well, we do have it. And what you have to do is you got to kind of know it, and then you call, and then you reserve, and then a car gets picked up versus pulling in here and seeing perhaps several parking spots or signage with Enterprise. It's the perception is reality. And it's not going to happen overnight, per se, but that's just an example of, if they come here and then boom, they got a rental car or things of that nature.
Yeah, but
and so they were very complimentary about the airport. They're just thinking about, okay, how are we going to grow?
Supplemental services.
Grow and supplemental from that perspective. So it was good, healthy conversation.
Something that's also highlighted in
Kenneth
reports.
The other thing was,
we have an accounting outfit called Infinity. I think it's Infinity as far as logistics, and they put on a presentation over at Billion Cups, and they basically dealing in basically deliveries, but they like to take a crack obviously at being a potential supplier vendor to our operation here if we don't want to take on a rental car I was. I was just talking about the fundamental cost of operating a plane in here. Now you expanded it, and it's really services that the pilots were telling you was what we need over and above, obviously, a good cost base, a competitive cost base, excuse me, as far as operating a plane.
You're going to attract them into the beaches and other surrounding areas.
Well, the way I see it, we have Sussex County government has about 10 cars over here sitting there.
Another revenue source, I guess. You can start running those, huh?
An Uber situation.
Well, in the old days, we used to get
cars
for the keys under the mat.
Right.
Literally, that's what a lot of the pilots talk about.
Although I've been very thankful for courtesy cars. Some of them, I didn't know if I was going to get back to the airport or not, you know, but still thankful that they were there many times.
Sussex Auto Sales. Sussex Auto Rentals.
Their own website. I think the auction closes soon.
Yeah.
Get yourself a deal.
I think April 2nd, April 3rd. Something like that.
Do we have a second for me to tell my testing story?
Yeah.
We're talking about
marketing 101. Mm-hmm.
Marketing, and you know, one of the things that I've been pushing for is changing our three-letter identifier from GED. And last Wednesday,
GED, is that what it is?
That is our
George Chamberlain.
Yep. That's KGED.
Gotcha.
Last Wednesday, we had our telephone guys and radio guys over at Georgetown Air Services working on the clearance delivery radio, and they were trying to get a phone calls from Dover Air Force Base so they could do all this testing. And at the same time, Susan's in the pilot's lounge testing our WSI, the weather computer, because our antenna's damaged, and you know, she's on the phone with somebody there. And I went in the office, and the phone rings, and the guy says, "I'm calling about GED testing." As well, I'm not being funny, but we have two tests going on right now. You know, are you from Dover? Because I knew they were trying to get the guy from Dover to call. He said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I need to find out about GED testing." As well, are you from WSI? Because I don't know what that is either. I got Susan on the phone and trying to help the guy, and then I went down and got our phone guy Jim Bowden to come down and get on the phone, and they both talked to this guy, but
oh no,
he wanted to take his high school GED test. He said he Googled GED testing, and our number came up.
Whoa!
So that's why he was calling us, but that was
wow. That's our identity.
So we need to add that to our priority list. Truly.
So that's.
I'm not sure that trumps the pilot that landed and thought he was in New Jersey, Sussex County, New Jersey, but it's really close.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really close.
But that was my story.
It's fantastic.
Wow, that is a
love it.
A scary.
I love it.
We need to graduate.
Do we have any more from branding or anything?
Stay tuned.
That's fine.
Okay. We do appreciate the update, though, and the work you went through to put this little summary together.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Very much. Next business.
I don't know how you found it. I'm scrolling through all the Google and Georgetown Air Force, and I can't get any more.
I don't know.
I just put in GED test in Google, and
what is that GED test in Sussex County? Maybe in the airport.
Right. And it's the one time we had two testing things going on. So,
what I also think about, you know, Larry, also is if there's an opportunity to get in front of new customers, new business, and we have an opportunity to be in front of decision makers, and we're got our little GED pin on, our little GED, you know, hats.
Well,
are they
going to
take us even
seriously?
They're
going to be real proud of you.
Are
you got your GED.
What? We got a new brand identification and the whole nine yards,
sure.
And be in front of the right people with the right message, and that's the different story, and that's what we're hearing.
Yep.
Well, if you put the K in front of it, that might avoid some of the confusion there. KTED. At least they'll ask you. Yeah. Use the four-letter identifier.
Oh my goodness.
Do you have any more, Jim? Okay. new business, snow removal practice. I had just asked to put this on, not for the sake of criticism, it's more for information purposes. I think the county does a great job. Or do you have contractors come in help out, or is it just all county employees?
It's been all county this year.
Yeah. And they've always done a great job. You know, I've never come in here and not been able to get out, you know, right after snow or anything like that. But I did come in, right, it was a Saturday after our last snow, which was on a Thursday, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, and I had an Angel Flight mission that morning, and I thought, well, you know, we just, and Friday night, I'm thinking, we just had snow Thursday. I want to come in and make sure I can at least get my, because at the very least, I got like a 6-inch hump of snow right up against the hangar door that I got to move, that pilot don't want to get too close to the hangar doors anyway. I popped the door open a little bit, and it looks great. The apron was cleared out in front of the hangars. To go. I got here Saturday morning and there's about a foot and a half ridge of snow all across in front of the hangar, off the apron on the ramp.
It was all frozen, it was ice.
Yeah, and I couldn't, and thankfully I had a little corner I could get out and got over into, because I wouldn't have been able to shovel it, not in the time I had. But I just, you know, for clarification, are the tenants responsible for the, like, the concrete apron out to the ramp? I know you guys have plowed in the past, but
yes.
I just, okay.
But I mean, on the other hand, we shouldn't be leaving you a big snowbank at the edge of
yeah. And then also for future reference, if I had seen it that night, I don't know if you could have done anything about it that night, but would I just call you or your office to get taken care of? And again, I don't know if you could have done anything, but
I saw it coming. And we were supposed to leave the day that the snowstorm hit to go south in the B-25. And I saw a snowstorm come and said, great, you know, snow's going to be over, and then we're not going to be able to get out because of, you know, runway's going to be covered, taxiway's going to be covered. So I called Jim, asked him what was his plans to, you know, just when were they going to be in here so that I could make plans around whenever the county was going to have the taxiways and everything clean. And geez, Matt called me that night. He was in there doing last-minute work on the airplane, getting ready to fly away. He said as soon as the snow, even before the snow stopped, he could hear them out there plowing.
Yeah, they've always done a great job.
So when we got ready to leave, of course, we couldn't leave until the weather finally cleared. I think it was Saturday morning before we finally was able to get weather to get out of here. But, we had a clear path all the way out, which we really appreciated.
Yeah, it's a big job, too, and I know that. Yep. They do a great job. I just wanted to be clear on.
Yeah, and it says snow removal practice, and I would say we don't get enough practice.
True.
And that causes a lot of problems.
You got it this year, though, didn't you? What, three of them, I guess?
Yeah, you know, which is not a lot, but like I said, they do work hard out there. They're out there in the middle of the night, and so far it's only been county people because we haven't exceeded the ability of our trucks. You know, once we do that, then we'll bring in Gus Prawl or somebody. And
there are some airports out in the Pittsburgh area that get the practice and are still, you know, guys are trapped for days after snowstorms.
Yeah.
Mike Porter, who was one of the guys that we've got to tell you about, who would be top good airplane, he's putting him nuts, but his airport was one of those. And several times this winter, I'd be talking to him, and it'd be days sometimes before he even put skis on one of his airplanes so that he could still fly. Literally, put skis on.
Love it.
There are some things that our guys can do better. You know, they've left some big snow berms in places that they shouldn't, and you know, like around hangar doors and things that, you know, maybe a little more attention to detail. But I mean, overall, they work very hard and.
They did a great job. I mean, it was perfectly clear up to the hangar door.
They're very motivated to get the runway open again.
And yeah. I expected to shovel in front of the hangar door. I did expect to shovel out on the ramp, though. No, but I do appreciate the work they do, because like I said,
my biggest complaint with them has been they do too much. You know, you don't have to do this guy's hangar.
Mm.
Get the taxiway done,
right,
kind of thing. So it's,
right.
You know, they try to be helpful to people, and sometimes that hurts in other areas.
Taxiway and runway.
It's because they're working harder than they should be.
Isn't that something here?
I love that. Yeah, I mean,
a couple
like
of years
I said,
ago,
no complaints.
When we had the real big snowstorms, the ones that
it smushed snow gasoline on top of the hangar, and when it came off, it caved in the sides. I had $10,000 worth of damage where the snow coming down caved in the sides of the hangar. We had all that fixed, but that year is when we kind of left a couple pieces of equipment out here, and of course, one of my guys is a heavy equipment operator, so we borrowed the equipment and took the county out. We finished cleaning out in front of the hangars, cleaned out part of the road. And
and we do.
So there's your backup.
There we go.
There's
I'll remember that, Larry.
There it is.
And we do have a new piece of equipment this year, new tractor with some kind of a pusher thing on it that did a really nice job with the apron.
Yeah.
Scoops up all those ropes that Garrett's got tied down.
And gets them all tangled up. No. Yeah. Well, that's all I had on that. Unless anybody else has anything, we'll move on to public comments.
Yes, I have a comment. I thought Larry was going to bring it up. Wings and Wheels, back in motion. First meeting is the 9th, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you gotten a meeting notice?
Yeah, I got the meeting notice. I was just checking that out to make certain, because Jim said, well, we're back in action again, Mike. So it's Wings and Wheels is starting up.
April 9th.
April 9th is the first planning meeting for that.
I didn't get it.
And I think also
she sent it last night.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Oh, geez.
Well, I haven't checked my home email yet. Then okay.
Last night, I'm nowhere near a kid caller.
That's on last week.
The whole reason I got this was my wife checked my and one of my emails, and when I passed through the house today, she met me at the door, and I went in to change clothes. She passed me all of this stuff. And she had already downloaded it.
Oh, she printed the whole task one thing, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, Wings and Wheels, April 9th. That's our first planning meeting.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Questions?
You know, Dakota had always said he wanted to come back out here, and I'm not sure whether he'd be able to this year. He started to really cut back on some of his assets. So we had three events we were doing together this spring. We did the first one, and he came down with a cold and headed back to Texas. And we didn't want to risk his
Well, he's
health.
What, 97, 98? 99. So I think he's allowed to slow down a little bit.
Yeah. but even then, he was sitting down there sniffing, snorting, coughing, and all with a cold, and got ready to leave. And he's carrying two big suitcases full of you know, his stuff, his prints and all that kind of stuff. And Tom and Catherine and Cindy are all walking along there. They take enough but their purses on their hands to get through all the gear.
Bless his heart.
We'll be, you know, the Doolittle Raiders are receiving the Congressional Gold Medal on the 15th of April in U.S. Congress. And we'll be there, and we'll be taking possession of it and then flying it to the Air Force Museum at Dayton for a formal acceptance at the Air Force Museum, and it'll be turned over to General Hudson, who will, it'll be going on display next to the Raiders' goblets at the Air Force Museum.
Wow, great honor.
And there was a press release, finally, I think last week on the National Museum of U.S. Air Force's website, about flying the medal out to, sort of an expensive way to take it to Dayton, but...
Yeah, but... can't think of a better way to do it, though. Yeah.
It's all symbolic. Right.
Great honor. Congratulations.
But hopefully Dick's health will hold and he'll be able to come back this October. He wants to come. He enjoys coming here. He enjoys coming out here. He gets, you know, one day where he gets to sell his prints, but he's the only one still putting money in the Raider Scholarship Fund. And then he gets to, you know, he went up to see the museum in Dover and, gets a day down either way on each side of the trip, so he enjoys coming out here.
By the way, I don't know if you know yet, but you got a little blurb in AOPA Pilot Magazine this week, this month.
Good or bad?
Good, very good. That's always good.
What's happening around the country?
Under the aviation stage or something like that, whatever they call it. Yeah. Right. So under Delaware, they had a little mention of you and Panchito. So
we got some other things.
A little more exposure for the airport, I thought.
There may be a lot more.
So hopefully.
We got something else
Good. All right. Any more comments from the public or questions or anything? All right. We need to set the next meeting date. And Susan reminded me that our normally scheduled next meeting date would be on the week coming up to Memorial Day. And we usually have trouble getting people here for that weekend. It's holiday weekend and everything. So,
the Wednesday before or the Wednesday after?
It's the Wednesday before, is it not? I would think.
It'll be the week of.
The week of.
I have the 25th of May being Memorial Day.
Right.
The 27th would be our date.
So it's the Wednesday after.
Oh, so it is the Wednesday after, wow.
That week I'm going to be over at Test Pilot School all week.
Okay.
So I could come that week.
Well, we want to get a consensus from the group as to, given the discussion on branding, and Todd, I don't know, you may come up with a request for a special meeting in between now and then.
It will take place in April for sure. We will not be waiting until May.
April, okay.
Yep. Why don't we avoid scheduling the next meeting right now and let Todd get back with us and schedule it around, and sometime we can meet with the consultant, because that's important.
Ben
would have loved to have been here tonight. He was committed. He was in Iowa, but he would have loved to have been here to meet you all and observe the kickoff.
That seems reasonable. And then at that meeting, we can decide whether we want to try to meet again in May or push it off till June.
Okay.
And whether we need to meet in May. Does that sound reasonable?
A couple weeks, we'll get things started Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And give you guys enough notice.
Okay.
To pick a week. We would naturally probably try to do another Wednesday evening, just because of that's what we're stuck with. But we'll circle back.
Okay.
I knew who to call.
All right. So we'll officially wait for.
And we need to, I guess, legally post this meeting, is that correct, so the public is aware of it? And
this one?
Correct.
It is, yes.
Right, so, okay.
Yep. And we did announce it at council meeting, it's on our website.
Mike, I'm going to miss.
Thanks. Mike's good. Down there at the end of the table. There.
With nothing else on the agenda, I'll accept motions to adjourn.
Got
a second? Motion carried.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks very much.